If you have your Bible, go to 2 Timothy chapter 2. 2 Timothy chapter 2. In fact, as you're turning there, I'm going to have this slide come on screen, and I'm going to guess if anybody can tell me what this says. So you can put this slide on screen. It is 2T222. Any guesses as to what this is? Okay, I kind of cheated because the title slide had the passage, so you weren't supposed to know that. When I was in junior in high school, I remember walking into our Sunday school class. My Sunday school teacher, Mr. Harvey, I really liked him. I looked forward to Sunday school with him, and he wasn't big on illustrations. He would read the verses and tell you what it said, and then he'd send you off, and sometimes we need that. But one morning I walked in, and this was different for him because on the marker board he had this written out. 2T222. Now, of course, you know where this is going, but as a teenager, we're walking in, this is different, we're trying to figure out, what does this mean? And I thought maybe it was a game where you have to, like, decrypt it or something, and so, you know, all of us are kind of talking, what do you think this means? And he did this on purpose to help us kind of, like, get in there and talk about this. And he just sat back in his chair as we're talking about this, coming up with ideas as to what 2T222 means. And finally, he kind of chuckles to himself, and he stands up, and he says, well, have you figured it out yet? And we all said, no. He said, well, here's the issue. He said, none of you got your Bibles out and tried to match up 2T222. And then, of course, we thought, well, this is Sunday school. We should have had our Bibles with us. But it's amazing to me, something as simple as seeing this on a marker board or a chalkboard has still stayed in my mind years later. And I have found that simple things resonate with us. And so for me, 2T222, I'm always going to remember 2 Timothy 2:22. And as a teenager, I needed to hear this verse because it is speaking to someone who's younger. Paul wrote 2 Timothy to Timothy, who was a younger pastor, and he said these words to Timothy, but I don't want you to think, if you're younger, if you're older, I don't want you to think that this just applies to one age group, because God's word applies to everybody, not just an age group. And so even though Paul is writing to Timothy as a young preacher, no matter your age, I want you to understand this also applies to you. So it's on screen, and hopefully you have your Bibles open. 2 Timothy 2, verse 22 says, flee also youthful lust, but follow righteousness, faith, charity, peace, with them that call on the Lord out of a pure heart. And so this morning, going back to the title slide, we're going to learn how to run today. Any runners in here, anybody that likes to run? Got a handful. We did a 5K recently with a couple of teen guys down here. I'm still sore from it. It was like a week ago. Back in March, Lydia and I would say invited, but I think we were more so challenged to do this. It didn't really feel like an invite. Robin Reif challenged us, invited us to run a 5K, and my initial reaction was, absolutely not. This body does not run. Growing up, I remember playing sports. I didn't mind running if it involved a sport. You know, if you're playing basketball, if you're playing baseball, there's a purpose to it. But in my mind, if you ran, it's because you did something wrong. And basketball, when we were playing, if you made a mistake, I remember during practice, we had something called 17s, and I despise the number 17 because of this, but what you would do is you'd get on one end of the baseline, and our coach would yell, go, and in 45 seconds, you had to go baseline to baseline 17 times. Now, of course, for me, I'm like, that's impossible. I was happy if I got two in 45 seconds. I wasn't very fast, but I always equated running with, like, a punishment. But it's funny, when we were challenged, invited to do this, my initial reaction was, absolutely not. I don't want to do this. But then we talked about it, and we said, well, I mean, running is good for you. It's beneficial. Exercise is good. And so we decided we were going to do this. So this was back in March, and Lydia and I, we're committed people. We're also competitive people. And so we decided if we're going to do this, we're going to train. And so we made sure we had the right shoes, make sure you have, like, the right running clothes. And you're going to think this is silly, but I would watch, like, YouTube videos of how to run. Like, you think it's so simple. I don't run. The only time I run is if there's food or if I'm running away from something. So I had to learn the proper form. And so I watched these videos, and it's kind of funny, but, you know, you watch it to make sure you have the proper form. And before you know it, day by day and week by week, I began to enjoy it. And now it's taken 6-7 months for me to enjoy it. But after time that we've spent doing it, it's something I actually look forward to. Now, running is difficult. If you've never run before and you go to run a 5K, that's 3 miles. That's a long run. Even though we trained for it, it was still a long run. I remember getting home after the first one we ran. I was so tired, I just wanted to sleep all day. But we have two little kids who didn't want us to sleep all day. And we just wanted to recover. But what we learned was it was difficult, it was hard to do, but it was so worth it. Because now we can look back and see the progress that we've made. We've got, you know, smartwatches and phones, and you can track your progress. And it's cool to look back and say, well, back in March, I couldn't even run 30 seconds. And then now in October, we were able to run 3 miles. But this isn't a story for you to think that I'm some athlete, because I am not. This is more so just to show you that when you actually take time to train for something for 7 months, it's possible. But I told you, simple things resonate with us. So 2T222 resonates with me. Running resonates with you for two reasons. One, maybe you like to run. Two, maybe like the majority of us, you hate to run. Either way, you have an opinion of running, and it resonates with you. And so Paul says in 2 Timothy 2, verse 22, you need to run. Now, I told you I watched YouTube videos of how to run. We think that's kind of silly because you should just know how to run. But even biblically, we're going to see spiritually, we have to learn how to run. And so Paul lays this out for us. The first way we learn how to run comes in verse 22. The first part, it says this. On the screen, it should be grayed out for you. He says, flee also youthful lusts. That word flee, we get the idea of someone who's running. It's actually a little more severe than that. That word flee means to escape, like there's danger. Like your house is on fire. You're not just going to casually stroll out of the house. You're going to run for your life. You're going to get everything you can. You're going to escape out of the situation. But a lot of times, when we're faced with a temptation, when we're faced with a youthful lust, which is sin, our initial reaction isn't to run because, well, maybe we don't know how to run. And maybe you're here this morning, maybe you're struggling with something and you keep going back to it and you don't know how to quit. Well, maybe this morning you need to learn that the first step you should take is run away from it. James chapter 1, we're not going to read this morning, but in James chapter 1, it lays out for us in verses 12 through 14 what I like to call the cycle of sin. And sin always starts in our mind, starts with a temptation. It starts with a desire that we have. And Paul says in that verse, flee from those desires, flee from those lusts, escape from it. In Genesis, we learn about Joseph. We've been learning about Joseph with the teens on Sunday mornings. If you know about Joseph, he was thrown in the pit and left for dead by his brothers. He was then sold as a slave into Egypt. And if you know what happens next, he ends up in a house by a guy named Potiphar, who's one of the rulers in Egypt. And while he's working for Potiphar, he began to prosper. He began to grow. He was a godly man. But then there was one day where it was just Joseph and Potiphar's wife alone. And up to this point, she had tried to make advances on him, saying, hey, Joseph, sleep with me. And he said no, and he said no. But then there came a time where he was alone. Nobody would have known. Nobody would have found out. Joseph had a decision to make, but because he had practiced running before, when it came down to it, when nobody was watching, Joseph ran away. In fact, he fled. He escaped because there was danger, and if he stayed, it could cost him his life. Now, if you compare that, if you were to go tonight to Proverbs chapter 7, you kind of see a contrast. In Proverbs chapter 7, we learn about a young man who's walking down the street, and he's tempted by an adulterous woman. Same opportunity Joseph had, but this young man lingers, and he thinks about it, and he ends up going through with it, and it cost him his life. And so we see this contrast, someone who runs away from sin versus someone who stays inside of it. And James chapter 1 tells us that when we stay in sin and we continue to not run from it, it's always going to result in death. Now, it's not maybe a physical death, but you feel that separation in your relationship with God. And so Paul's telling us, if you want to be serious as a Christian, if you want to get real for God, you need to practice running. Now, thankfully, today you don't have to go buy running shoes for this. You don't have to get up and run. But spiritually, you need to make sure that when you're tempted, when something comes up, you need to practice the escaping, the running away. And I want to focus really quick back in that verse, youthful lust. If I were to go around the room, we're not going to do this, but if I were to go around the room, you could probably tell me at least one thing that you know of that is a youthful lust. I wrote a few down in my notes this morning. The first one I think that we all think of is sexual sin. Now, I say this a lot to our teenagers. In fact, many of you have probably heard me say this, but one of the number one problems in our country today is sexual sin. The rise of pornography, homosexuality, sex outside of marriage, that's not what God intended. That's not what he planned for us. But Satan's crafty because he knows what tempts you, and you might be tempted with those sins this morning. But it's not just sexual sin. We also see things like partying and drinking. And of course, we would think at a church, no one would do those things. But that could very well be the thing that you struggle with. And maybe it's not the big things that we think of. Maybe it's lying. Maybe it's division. Maybe it's talking about others, gossiping. Those are things that we say, oh, that's what kids do, and we tell them not to do it. That's a youthful lust. It's a youthful desire. See, because it's easy to want to lie when something doesn't go our way. It's easy to talk about somebody behind their back. But Paul says, avoid all of it. And if you're tempted by that, and let me also say, I may not have mentioned something you struggle with. It doesn't mean that it's okay. Because if it goes against what God says, if it leads you to sin, Paul says, whatever it is, you need to run from it, escape from it. But while running, I've realized this as we have started running, if you run from something, it's really helpful to have something that you're running towards. Do you remember when you were a kid at recess when you would line up and have those races? I always came in last. I don't know why. But we would line up. We would line up. I told you I wasn't very fast. You know, you'd line up at recess. And, of course, like the fast kid always said, hey, let's race. And I didn't want to race, but I'd do it anyway. And so we'd line up over here and line up over here. And when someone would say go, there's always that kid who stepped out first. You know what I'm talking about? Anyway, we're lined up here and here, and someone says go. What's going to happen? Do you just turn around and stay at the starting line? I hope not, because you're not going to win if you do that. And so if I'm going to run from something, there has to be something I'm running towards, because I'm just going to end up back at the beginning where I was if I don't make a change. And so at recess, when someone said go, even if I was the last one, I was going to do my best to get to that goal. And so as a Christian, if we're running from sin, well, we have to be able to run towards something, because if you find that sin in your life that you say, yes, this is what I struggle with, and you say you want to get rid of it, I am so proud of you. Do that. Seriously, do that. But if you don't replace it with something, you're just going to end up back where you were. I knew somebody growing up that smoked. And I remember watching this. They stopped smoking. And I would see them carrying Jolly Ranchers and mints and gum. And I thought, this is really strange. Because every time that I would watch them, when they would usually go to take a smoke break, they'd get their gum or their mint or their Jolly Rancher. And so one time I went up and I asked him, I said, what's the deal with the Jolly Ranchers? You know, you're going to get diabetes if you keep doing this. And you know, the pros and cons, okay? And so I remember him telling me, well, I was a longtime smoker. This is what's helping me through. Because he realized if he continues to not smoke but doesn't replace it, where's he going to end back up? With the cigarettes. And so if we can do something physically for our health, why can't we do something spiritually for our spiritual health? If you're being affected, you're struggling with something, run away from it. That's good. Escape from it. But then secondly, you have to run towards something. You have to replace the bad with the good. So this is all in verse 22, by the way. Look down again with me at the middle section of verse 22. We run from sin, but follow righteousness, faith, charity, peace. Now, this word follow doesn't mean just to kind of like, my dad uses this word to putz around. And that's like the idea, maybe you've heard that, I think of that a lot. It's the idea of someone who does something slowly. My dad would always say to us as kids, hey, don't putz around. You need to do this quickly. And so when we see the word follow, we kind of think of like little ducks in a row following mama duck. But that's not the idea this word gives us. Some Bible translations would say to pursue. Now, if you know what pursue means, guess what? You got to tie your shoes again because you're getting ready to run. And if you don't like running by the end of this, I hope you do. But see, we have to learn how to do this. We have to run from something that's bad, and then the Bible says run to something that's good. And so there's a few words here, but I want to focus the second point on running to righteousness. We would define righteousness as living right before God and before others. And so I think that would pretty much sum up the entirety of what we should do as Christians. Living righteously includes coming to church. It includes reading your Bible. It includes praying. It includes serving. Running to righteousness in front of God means that when no one's looking, I'm going to be the same person. Running righteously or living righteously in front of others means that there's going to be things I'm not going to do anymore, things I'm not going to say. And if I'm running from those things that are keeping me back, I'm running to things that are going to help me. And so I thought of three ways that you could live righteously today. The first way that you could live righteously, I think, is in your words, the words you use. If I'm going to live right before God, there's some words that aren't going to be in my vocabulary. When you stub your toe, when you burn your finger on the stove, maybe you're working with a hammer and hit your thumb, that hurts. What words come out of your mouth? Well, if you're living righteously, you're running to that. It means you're running from the things you shouldn't say. And so you're replacing the bad with the good. I also thought with our words, it's the way we talk about others. When we're with a group of people, what are we saying about other people? Are we building them up? Or are we tearing them down? You know, division, by the way, I thought this was interesting. Wednesday night, our teens, I'm going to brag on them because I can, and I will, even if you say no. I love our teens, and I'm so proud of them. And it's not just because I'm the youth pastor. I've got some learning the soundboard up there, and I'm proud of those guys, proud of all of them. And they ask such good questions. And somebody asked me a few weeks ago, I think I told you, if we could learn about hell. So we learned about hell. We learned about heaven. Last week, we learned about angels and demons and Satan. And I thought, this is getting, if you want to like some intriguing conversation, come to the youth group. But it's interesting, as I was doing study for this, I found the Bible says that like division in the church, God says, that's not from me, that's demonic. When a church divides because of the way that we talk, the way that we interact with each other, God says, that's not from me, it's demonic. And if you don't believe that, look it up. Your Bible says that. God's word says that. So run from that. Righteousness in your words, the things you say, the things you don't say. A second way you can be righteous to live right before God is right up here. Because the cool thing about our mind is that only we know what's going on. I could be thinking about how I wish the Yankees would have won. I don't. I'm not interested in it, but I could. But you wouldn't know that because that's up here. What you think in your mind, no one knows, but you do. But someone else does know. See, God knows what you're thinking. He knows what's on your mind. He knows what you look at. He knows what you think about. He knows what you dwell on. And I think it's interesting, when you look at the armor of God in Ephesians 6, there's a helmet. Because your thought life matters. I mentioned James chapter 1 earlier. James chapter 1 tells us that our sin is a result of when we sin, it's a result of what we desire. And I've told people this before, when you desire something, you think about it. You dwell on it. I did not desire running, so I didn't do much thinking about running. I've learned now to, I think about it more because I like to do it, right? And if you think about something long enough, what's going to happen? It's going to turn into an action. And so I think that's the third way we could live righteously, is not just within our thoughts. I think we can live righteous in our actions. There are going to maybe be some things today that you shouldn't do anymore, places you shouldn't go, people you shouldn't be with. And if you're going to be serious as a Christian to run this race that God's called you to run, then you need to be running towards what's going to help you, not hurt you. And so if it's your words, if it's your thoughts, if it's your actions, live right before God, live right before others. I told the teens this morning, when Pharaoh looked at Joseph, it's really cool. In Genesis 42, it says, when Pharaoh looked at Joseph, he could sense the Spirit of God. He could see something different about Joseph. Do people see that in your life? Because if you're running the wrong way, if you're running to your sin, they're not going to see it. And if you want to influence, listen, this is why I say it's not just for teenagers, it's for everybody. If you want to make a difference at work and at home, run to righteousness. And you'll see, let's put the verse back on screen, there's a few more words that come with this. If you're following, running, at, let's go back one verse, I'm sorry, that was not the right one. Let's go back to this one. If you're running after righteousness, you're choosing to run towards this. You're going to produce the faith you need. That word charity means love. You're going to produce the love that you need. And what's the last word? Peace. We got peace in this church, unity in this church, love in this church. But it starts with you. You have to choose what you're going to run towards. When you go home and no one knows what you're doing, what are you running towards? What are you running from? Because you might not realize it, even if no one knows, it's going to affect you. And sooner or later, it will affect our church. But what if each one of us decided today, you know what, I'm going to put this behind me. I'm going to run towards righteousness so I can have the faith and love and peace that I need in my life. Here's the cool thing about running. You don't have to do it alone. When we were challenged, I'm sticking with that word because we were challenged to do this, we decided, okay, what are we going to do? Are we going to run this 5K or not? I had a lot of excuses lined up. First, it was no, because I don't run. The second excuse was because the 5K was the Saturday before VBS. And, you know, there's a lot going on that week. And Lydia and I decided, you know what? We can come up with 1,000 excuses. We'll never do it if we don't commit to this. And so I decided, when we agreed to do this, I'm going to reach out to somebody. I've got a friend of mine who runs a lot. I would look at him and say, he's a runner. He's done a lot of 5Ks, a lot of races. And so I texted him. I said, hey, I need some advice. I need some help. And he sent me some things. He told me the shoes to buy. He's the one that recommended the YouTube video, so don't make fun of me for it, okay? Because a runner told me to do it. But do you know who I didn't go to? I didn't go to the person who never exercises. I didn't go to the person that never runs, that only eats Cheetos and Mountain Dew. Sorry, they're good, teens, they're good, okay? But which person am I going to get my advice from? Now, what about this? If I'm going to run this race and I need someone to train with me, which one am I going to pick? I'm going to pick the one that knows how to run. In fact, I'm going to pick the one that runs better than me. And I want you to notice the third thing is this: run with others. So run from sin. If you're tempted, run away. Now, listen, for some of you, you might physically need to leave a building, leave a room, leave a place. Some of you, maybe it's mentally you need to run from it. Whatever you have to do. If someone thinks you're weird for it, shame on them. Good for you. Run to righteousness. And here we go, number three, run with others. I want you to look at the last part of verse 22. It says this, but follow, remember that means run after, with them that call on the Lord. Notice this, out of a pure heart. If you're going to be serious about this, and this is not just for teens, this is for everybody. If you're going to be serious as a Christian, find someone in this church that you would say, hey, I think they're a better Christian than me. Not to make them feel better, but to help you be better. And I hope you can find that person here. And maybe you're that person for someone else. And I want to say briefly, if you're not that person, you could be. And if you're not that person, would you make that change today? Because we also learn in the Bible that the younger generation learns from the older. And if our older generation isn't doing this, who's our younger generation going to look to? Our church leaders, our Sunday school teachers, even I'm including myself in this too, Pastor Wayne. If we're not doing this, who will? This church will die if we do not. God is doing something great, and he could use you, but you have to choose to run. You're not alone in this. I know many people that have made mistakes, many people that have made mistakes, myself included, because the Bible says we're all sinners. But I learned with running physically, if I had the right person to encourage me and run with me and say, hey, keep going, this is good. Yeah, I remember one time this friend texted me. He said, did you run today? I hung my head. He couldn't see me, but you know, you have that feeling because I hadn't run that day. I text him back and say, no. He didn't chew me out. He didn't say, that's it, I'm giving up on you. He said, hey, do better tomorrow. And the next day, I ran. I think I only ran like a mile. I was so excited to text him because I ran. But if we can get so excited over something physical that has no weight of eternity, what if we got serious spiritually to run with each other? Notice again, Paul says, run with them that call on the Lord out of a pure heart. The point in that story is to tell you, have that person that is spiritually going to help you, not hurt you. Who's going to push you towards God? Who's going to pull you away? It may only be one person. That's fine. You may look around and say, I don't know who to talk to. Come see me. Come see Pastor Wayne. Come see Pastor Earl. We'll be there for you. I know there's a lot more in our church that would be that for you. So I leave you with this. Are you ready to run? I hope you are. Run from your sin. Don't linger. Don't wait. Don't stay in the area where you're tempted. Run away from it. Replace it with good. Run to righteousness. Live a life that pleases God. And then thirdly, run with others. And how could God change this church if each of us took this seriously? But I say this, I think every time I preach, I can't make that decision for you. You have to choose. I hope you make the right choice this morning. Would you pray with me? Lord, thank you for today. Thank you that we could be here to learn from your word. God, it's so amazing. As I said earlier, when we let your word work in our life, God, it changes us. God, I see you doing something great in this church. And I pray that we would be serious to run from our sin. If we slip up and make a mistake, God, help us to get back up and keep running. The Bible says a righteous man falls 7 times, but he gets back up. God, some people maybe haven't been running at all. Maybe they need to get the shoes out and lace them up. And maybe they need to get the Bible off the shelf. Whatever it takes, God, let them start running today. Run towards you. Run towards righteousness. And thank you that we have a church where we can run together. God, we give you all the praise and all the glory. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.